Now, if they say they're not doing all right, we can pray for them right now.
All right, all right.
Amen. I believe in prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Some of y'all clean up real good. I'll tell you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, Lord. Lord, for your goodness and your grace over our lives, God. We thank you for allowing us to rise up this morning and yet have a mind to make it to the house of God. Lord, and we pray, God, that your spirit will have its way here today, God, as you will in every church that you have set and ordained, God, as we yield to you. Lord, and let your spirit have its way, God. We thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here, Lord. And we say, speak to us today. Lord, move me out of the way as I yield and surrender myself unto you, God, that your will be done, Lord, and that we won't leave here the same. So we thank you and we praise you. We bless those that are watching online, God, or even watching the recording, God, that you would speak your will into our spirit. Let it be done, God, that we may be made better, Lord, that we can represent you in a way that you deserve to be represented. We thank you and praise you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And y'all can be seated. Amen. We go ahead and release our children to their class. Amen. Another day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
Amen. And I believe in rejoicing and being glad. Hallelujah. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. With the saints. Amen. Always, Sister Pam. Amen. Lifting him up. Hallelujah. At all times. Amen. Tell somebody, it's a great day to be alive. Man, because I still got a chance to get closer to God every day. It was a good day. This morning, I'm going to attempt to, this will be my third attempt, actually, to try to finish the message, amen. I've been trying to get this message done, amen, the last two times I've spoken. And this is just part one of the series, or not the series, but just part one of our theme. Who remembers what our theme is for the year? Amen. Fully present. There it is right there on the screen. Fully present. Moving forward. Doing what? Building God's kingdom. Amen. Not my kingdom, not your kingdom, but God's kingdom. But we've been, just these last, you know, a couple messages that I've done, amen, I've been trying to just get through the first part, fully present. Amen. But, you know, it seems like, you know, the Holy Spirit has showed up and he had something different in mind. Amen. But hopefully today we can finish this so we can get to the next part of being what? Moving forward. Amen. But see, we want to be present. We want to be in the moment. Amen. Living in the moment. Amen. And not, you know, casting ourselves off into the future. Amen. So focused. I've talked to people over the years, had people say, by the time I get this age, I want to be this and that. Well, be something right now. You know, I'll be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. You know, say, what you doing today? You know, you got to do something today to get there. You know, you can't just be talking about it, be about it. You know, make it happen, amen. And sometimes we're stuck in the past, so we can't be in the present, amen. So we can't, you know, function like God wants us to function if we're not focused on where we are today. Amen. So we want to work on that. Amen. So he can deliver us. Amen. Use us for his glory. Even as I was thinking about, you know, being present. Amen. And doing those things. Amen. And working on the notes for this message and going over them again, I began to think about how we've heard it said and quoted. Amen. That the Spirit is what? The Spirit is subject to the prophet. Amen. We still talking about being present. Amen. You know, I thought about that. Amen. Being present and, you know, thinking about how sometimes we're somewhere else. Our mind is somewhere else and we're not where we need to be. Amen. So I'm going to try to stick to my notes. But, you know, I was thinking about that just as a, you know, it turns into a teachable moment. Amen. And I want to share with you. Amen. Because ain't that right? You know what we say? You know what we say? That, you know, the Spirit is subject to the prophet. Amen. Am I right? I am right. That's what we say is it quotes. But that's not what the Bible says. Amen? You know, see, because if when we say the Spirit, it's the Spirit, we're talking about what Spirit? God's Spirit. It's subject to the prophet. That means God is subject to what you and I want to do. And actually, it's the other way around. We are his subjects. We are subject to him. Amen. See, if I was, you know, if the Spirit was subject to me, I'd be telling God what to do. Right? That's like me going, you know, me being your boss, and I give you, Adonijah, I give you tasks to get done over at Home Depot, and you choose to do what you want to do. I'm the boss, but I'm not in control of you, right? You can go off and do what you want to do. I mean, I might be in charge. I got the ability to hold you accountable when you don't do, but still, I'm not in control of you. You know, so when I looked at that, you know, I began to think about it. So I want to look at this because truly, you know, we need to understand and rightly divide God's word. So I want to share that passage, amen, with us and see what it really says. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Amen. We want to see what the Bible really says. King James Version, verse number 31 and 32 says this. For ye may all prophesy, because we've been talking about our gifts, right? You know, operating the gift working through us. We say, ye may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. Verse number 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Did y'all catch that? Yeah. Now, first of all, he said the spirits, more than one. But when we're talking about God, he's not, there's no polarity in God. He's not, we don't serve, you know, we're not, you know, into that kind of worship, serving multiple gods. And secondly, it's not even capitalized. He said the spirits of the prophet. Amen. And that word spirits can be, you know, interpreted or translated as the breath of the prophets. You know, so when we think about what he's really saying here, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. And then I'm going to read it to you in the NLT. Same verse. In this way, all who prophesy will have their turn to speak, one after another, so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. Okay, so now he's again, that makes it a little bit even clearer. They're in control of their own spirit. Their spirit is how the spirit is moving upon them, amen. Because sometimes, you know, we've seen, not recently, but times past, amen, when someone is operating in the spirit and seemingly out of control. The spirit then took over. I've seen that with, you know, young Christians. But as you mature, you should be able to, right? I just got to say this. I got to know you don't. You want to say it, right? Because what? You're in control of, you know, what God has poured down into you. You know, let's look at what the next one says. I like how it says it in the New Century Version. It says, you can all prophesy one after another. In this way, all the people can be taught and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are under the control of the prophets themselves. So in other words, control your spirit. Control what God may have given you something to say or to share, but if everybody get at the same time, if you read on beyond this, he said God is not the author of confusion. Right. And oftentimes we see confusion because people just, they not understanding that God does all things decently and in order. Yes, he does. Amen. Yes, he does. So we want to recognize that, you know, God is a God of order. Amen. He wants us to be in control. When he's moving on us, moving through us, amen, we are still, you know, able to control how and what we say. Amen. Even though we want to be true to the Spirit of God, we want to, you know, not be out of control. Right? Amen. Message says the 32nd verse like this, then we're going to move on, leave us alone. But he said, if you choose to speak, what's he say? You're also responsible for how and when you speak. So the next time you hear somebody say, the spirit is subject to the prophet. Just pull them aside and say, that's not what it's saying. The spirit of God is not subject to me. right? Because again, I'm not. You know, when we stop and think about it, we say all the time that God is in control, isn't that right? I even think about a song. It's what we sing. I think we used to sing, "God is in control." Y'all remember that song? Now look, I'm not that far off, y'all. Now, come on. In control of, you know. But the reality is, because when you stop, when we say God is in control, that's an indictment. When you look at the condition of the world, and we say God's in control. Well, sometimes when we look at our own life and we say, well, God's in control. And our life can be a mess. And we're putting the blame on. Right? Now, some of us sitting right up in here, I said us, I ain't leaving me out, in here right now, we know that God is in charge. He gives us instruction by his word and through his spirit on how and what we should do and should not do, but we can still choose because he's not controlling you. He's giving you a charge of how to live because we are his subjects, amen. He is in charge, amen, but he's not in control of every aspect of your life. We take control ourselves. That's why we be lying, cheating, stealing, laying around and doing all kinds of stuff. Because why? You in control because you're not listening to the one that's in charge. Does that make sense? Now, I know when we raised our seven children, thank God for all seven of them. Amen. Even that one sitting over there. No, I love my daughter. You know, but I think that they knew we was in control. I mean, in charge when we left the house. I said, this is your choice. Get X, Y, Z done. You get, they had the kitchen rotation. They knew what they were supposed to be doing. Amen. But what they did once we left the house was a whole nother story. Because, you know, we was in charge, but when we left, they took control. I'll tell you a story about some oatmeal that we found out about, huh, Monica? When her older sister took charge, and Monica wanted to take charge of the oatmeal. She wanted to cook the oatmeal, but, you know, Lynette said, no, I got this. So they got into it, and Monica ended up wearing the oatmeal. Because why? They was in charge. They was in control of what they wanted to do, right? So I want us to really think when we say things, make sure it's right. You know, because I've said that in time past. God's in control of. Well, I wish God was in control of my life completely. I wouldn't have made some of the mistakes I made. Maybe it's just me. You know, because you know there was times I was in control and I did stuff that you know didn't pan out quite right. But he's in charge, and that means we listen to the instructions of the one that's in charge, and then everything will pan out right. Amen. Amen. But see, we got to yield ourselves to him. But let me leave that alone. Amen. We're going to get back and really talk about what? Being fully present. Sometimes being fully present is can be painful. Right? I mean, let's be real. I mean, We're talking about being present, but sometimes that can be painful because you got to deal, when you're fully present, you got to deal with the reality of the moment. You got to deal with the reality of the circumstances, amen. So it's easier to check out, amen, and just, you know, wander off in our minds and our thoughts and go somewhere else, amen, and just, because why? It can be bad, but also being fully present can be good. Amen. We stop and think about it. Amen. But we need to learn how to be present in the now. Right now. To be present. Amen. Because it is easy to disengage from our thoughts. Amen. And we have a better chance to experience the joy that we want to have when we're not sitting here going through this struggle and this problem, these bills and all. So we gotta go somewhere else. You know, how many of us just push the hard stuff aside sometimes? You don't want to deal with it right now. Right? Just ignore it. You don't even think about it. Just so, you know, and I think about it. But we know how to be present because usually when we're having a good time, we like to be present. Right. Amen. When you're kicking it and having fun and laughing with your family or your friends and having a good time, normally you're not thinking about your woes and your troubles. Amen. Because you right now, you want to be present because you're having a good time. But reality isn't always fun.
Amen.
But we need to be present so we can deal with reality. Amen. So that our lives can be in order and we can overcome some things. Some say, well, I don't want to be present when it's painful. I can't just turn off this pain and I can't get past all these things. But if we listen to the one that's in charge, he gives us instructions on how to move forward from those things. Yeah. Amen. We just went through a whole series recently about forgiveness. Yeah. Amen. And sometimes we're carrying the hurts and the pains from our past. Amen. Sometimes we're carrying the guilt. Yeah. Yeah. I was an expert. Yeah. From our past, amen, and so we can't move forward because the guilt is taking over and the pain is taking over. But we learned, amen, if we can just learn how to forgive, amen, we don't have to carry that baggage any longer. Amen, and that means even forgiving yourself. So you don't have to carry that baggage any longer. Now you can move forward and be present instead of being held back by what you've been through or what you did. Because that's where the enemy wants us to be. He wants us to be all tripped up, amen, and that's not God's plan for us, amen. So we want to stay in the present. We want to experience what's going on in the present, amen, and be able to move forward from those struggles and those difficulties, Michelle. We don't want to be stuck there, right? I like to laugh. I like to have fun. You know, I was listening to something, you know, the other day, and I was talking about how when you have a good belly laugh, I'm talking about, you know, a good laugh, amen, that it actually releases endorphins and stuff in your body, you know, that can bring healing and strength, amen. And the scripture says laughter is what? Good like a medicine, amen. And you begin to talk about how children have so many belly laughs a day, but as we get to be adults, come on now. It's, you know, you might have two or three a week. And some of y'all don't even have that. You're so sour. But if we would just learn how to laugh. And here's one of the things that they were saying. I'm gonna share this with y'all another time. But what they were saying is that even when you don't feel like laughing, if you just choose to laugh, just look at yourself in the mirror sometime. See, y'all laughing already because you remember the image. See? But if you just look at, you just laugh two or three times on purpose, before you know it, you're really having a good time laughing. And you feel better when you're laughing because it transforms your whole personality. It transforms you in the moment, amen. Laughing makes you smile. It brings you into a presence. Everything ain't so bad that I can't laugh. But sometimes we get to a place, amen, it look like if you smile, it's going to crack your face. Help us, Lord. Help us. We should be the happiest people on the planet. Knowing who we are and what we have. We shouldn't be, you know, the ones that are so sour all the time, amen. But, you know, the Lord knew we was going to have trouble with our thoughts, amen, and struggling with our minds. You know, our mind's defenses, unfortunately, make it so much harder for us to see reality because we're trying to defend ourselves from those things, amen. When the wife's come to you and say, those famous four words. We need to talk. And you're like, oh, here it comes. Right? See, I'm not the only one in the room that's ever heard those words. Right? I'm going to leave that alone before I get in trouble. She's going to be telling us in the car we need to talk. But, you know, we got to get to that place, amen. Okay, let's have that talk. What's on your mind, girl? Instead of being scared, be present. Huh? Right? Don't shut down. Be ready to respond, Pastor Sam. Amen. See, so we want to get to that place, you know, but when he knew that we would need help, you know, dealing with these things, dealing with, you know, it constructively when struggles come, when difficulties come. Amen. How do I coordinate my mind, you know, how do I work on this thing? But in Philippians 4, that's one of my favorite passages, amen, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, because it helps a lot, yes. Amen. But he instructed us, amen, through the Apostle Paul, amen, to how to think. Tell somebody, I need help on how to think. Well, we're going to deal with that, amen. But starting at verse number 6, it says this: be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Yes. Now, let me pause there for a minute. He said everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, when you're taking your problems to God, how can you be thankful? You know you got the answer. Amen. You got someone you can take your problems to. That's bigger than your problems. Thank you, Lord, that I can come to you. Thank you that I can put my trust in you. Thank you that you have the final say in my life. Amen. Even though everything ain't going good, I thank you that I'm not by myself. Right? See, with prayer and supplication, thank you. He said, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, when you go to him, and the Bible says, when you bring your troubles to the Lord, amen, he said, he's going to give you some peace. Yeah. Amen. And that peace that you have is going to pass your understanding. People are going to look at you and say, Adonijah, how you? I know you're going through. How come you got so much peace? And you can tell them, because I gave my troubles to the Lord. He's working on them with me. I'm not doing this all by myself, Yolanda. He's helping us, amen, so that we can go on. But, you know, the Lord helps us, amen, and he didn't just stop there, amen, but he wants us to know, amen, how we can have that peace in the fullness. You know, sometimes people look at me and say, you know, he's always so peaceful. He's also, Pastor, I'm not the person to stress over things. I don't like stress. Amen. Amen. Stress is a negative. Right. It releases the wrong kind of chemicals. We'll talk about that another time because I'm not ready to get into that. But, you know, stress is harmful to your physical body. Right. And so I don't like stress. Amen. I'm not going to die of stress. Amen. I won't let people stress me out. Amen. You know, I'm stressed out. What is that? What are you speaking over yourself? Life and death is where? Power, but you be saying, I be listening to people. They be saying all kinds of stuff. I'm getting this. I'm catching that. What you saying over yourself? Amen. See, it's our thoughts. What are we hearing? What are we operating in? You know, but God left us instructions, amen, again, through the apostle. But let's pick up at that 8th verse, amen, in Philippians. He says, finally, brethren, once you took your stuff to the Lord, once you got the peace of God, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Some of y'all got a lot of work to do, and we ain't even finished with the list yet. He said, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report. Don't bring me the gossip. Good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So what you been thinking about? He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall. Everybody say shall. Didn't say might. But he says shall be with you. So Paul is telling them, amen, how to think. Because we need some help on how to think sometimes. Because, you know, that mind just goes all over the place. Amen. And if we just let it have its way, whew, some of y'all already know what I'm talking about. It'll have you, like I said about myself at one time, it'll have you hidden to deception pass because you ain't got no hope. Amen. Right? But no. How do we think? How do we, you know, I say, you know, And when you stop and think, how's your thinking working for you? Stinking thinking. Amen. And you see, and sometimes we listen to everything we think.
Right?
And we don't question what we think enough. We're gonna work on it. We're gonna break this thing. We're gonna get it under control. Amen. Because when we're thinking all over the place, we can't be present. We're so inundated with all the what ifs and what was and what could and should be, amen, that we're not doing what we need to be doing. We're not aligned with Him because we're all over the place. And I know y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not the only one that's been there. Amen. We dwell in the negative places. Amen. Amen. So we can't be present. But Proverbs 23:7 says this in part. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you're thinking all crazy and confused and double-minded and messed up and angry and all the negative stuff, then that's where you at. That's the sum of it. Amen. Then you look around at your life and you see what's manifesting in your life. Amen. It's coming out of your thought life. Right? Yes, help us, Lord. We need some help. Amen. You know, and see, so you can't expect, amen, something different if you keep thinking the same ways that you've been thinking. I mean, why do we think the scripture is so clear? He said, be ye transformed by putting on new clothes. Is that what it says? Be transformed by finding a husband or a wife. Be transformed by buying a big new house. Right? It don't say none of that. It said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where it begins. You can get all that stuff.
Yes.
You can have the most, you know, the buffest husband or the flyest wife, you know, and still be all jacked up. Someone looking in your life say, I wish I had what they have, but they don't know what you're going through. You don't know how we look online and we think, well, they got such a good life. They only showing you less than 1% of their life, and they're showing you the best part they can present. And you buying into, I just want to be like her.
Come on, preacher.
You got no trouble being you. Right? And if you was her, you probably want to be you again. Your trouble was designed for you. So he's helping us to see, amen, that if we would just bring our thoughts in control, amen, and recognize that they're not in control, you are. Uh-oh. So I want us to understand, amen, God wants to help us, amen. I mean, what fruit is your life producing for those close to you? And those around you. Because we just say, as a man thinketh, it's just talking about, so are you. Amen. So we need to recognize that, amen. And we need to draw close, amen. Because as we get closer and closer to God, amen, he's going to open up more and more to us.
Yes.
Amen. But some of our thoughts, and I can say this from experience, will keep us from God.
Yeah.
Keep us from getting close to him. But he says, we are the light. Christians, we're the light of the world. That means, you know, we should be drawing people, amen. But if we miserable and we all messed up and struggling, amen, and mentally and everywhere else, amen, don't you know most of our problems start with our thoughts? Because he said, well, no, it's what they said about me, but you accepted it. Instead of casting that thing down and say, you don't know. See, you don't have to answer to everything someone calls you. You don't have to be everything they said you are. I mean, you got to know who you are in God. And what did he call you? He called you beloved, right? Oh, help us, Lord. See, we should have the joy of the kingdom operating in us so people see you and begin to, why are they so happy all the time? Why they got so much peace? Everybody else on the job is mad and frustrated, and you over there just humming. Your favorite gospel song, you're just enjoying yourself. You smiling. You're not being pulled into the conversation, amen, where they were talking about crucifying the boss. Because why? You in a whole nother place. You in Christ, amen, and that's where he wants to be. You know, we cannot be part of producing negativity and call ourselves the Christian. Oh, help us.
Help Lord.
You know, we got helpers right now. Man, we should be part of those that's producing the happiness, the joy, and the peace. Amen. Rather than the opposite. You should be the one changing the atmosphere when you come into the room. Huh? Man, when you go in the room and everybody mad, you should be the one disrupting it. Amen. If everybody happy, you should be the one encouraging it. Amen. See, but why? Because you know you are not of this world. But guess what? While I'm here, I'm going to mess up the devil's plans. I'm going to be a thorn in his side. While I'm here, and see, we need to decide. While I'm here, amen, when I wake up, he's going to run to the phone booth and pop some Maalox and call 911. Why? Because I got up this morning. That's why y'all got to make up in your mind, who are you? But we give into the thoughts, amen, and the next thing we know, we ain't no different than nobody else. What are we producing? Look what it says in Luke 6, 43 into 45. It says, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Right? Now, you should be a good tree, right? Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by the fruit it bears. How are you known in your community? How are you known on your job or to your family member? You know, because he said, it's not what you say. It's but what you do and who you are that affects other people more, amen. Because why? They're not just listening to your words. They're looking at your life. You can get on the phone and say, hello, praise the Lord. You was just cussing your husband or your wife out or yelling at them kids, telling them how no good they is and how they getting on your nerves, but all of a sudden, hello.
You know what you're talking about.
Come on, y'all. That shouldn't be us. It shouldn't be us. Say, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of brambles bushes gather they grapes. If someone comes to you, and every time they come to you, they're getting stuck, or they're getting hurt, or they're going to stay away from your thorns.
All right?
Hello. Amen. 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Wow, that's getting back to your mind again. Right? The good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Mm-hmm. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we got to ask ourselves, what's been coming out of your mouth? Because it can't come out of your mouth if it ain't in your heart. Right? See, out of abundance, you can say everything, but when the pressure's on, when someone's getting on your nerves, David, when you being squeezed on the job, is hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, coming out? Sometimes we go, oop, I didn't know that was still in me. Okay. Huh? If something come out you, what happened, Christian? Because it was still in the heart. See, so he used to, in other words, when he's talking about the heart, it's what's going on in your head. Huh? It's what's on your mind. What's still there that the enemy wants to expose and show you that that's not me? Oops, I forgot. No, you didn't forget. Maybe you forgot to purge that part out. But it's there. And God wants to bring it out. This is how it says it in the Message Bible. You don't get wormy apples off a healthy tree, nor good apples off a diseased tree. The health of the apples tells the health of the tree. So what's coming out of your mouth is telling on you. Let me say that again. What's coming out of your mouth is telling on you. The health of the apples tell the health of the tree. You must begin with your own life-giving what? Lives. In other words, check yourself. If you got corruption on the hard drive, it's going to show up. It's you. It's how you are, or who you, excuse me, it's who you are, not what you say or do that counts. They're looking at your character. Amen? Your true being brims over into true words and deeds. You know, I used to have a show back years ago. You know, and they had three people on the stage, and they would all maybe pretend to be an airline pilot, but the only one of them was the airline pilot. And they would say, well, the real, you know, after the people questioned them so they can try to figure out, you know, which one. They asked them different questions about the profession. Maybe it was a nurse, I don't know. But they're asking these different questions, and then at the end, amen, the people cast their vote, and then at the end they say, will the real Christian stand up? I just put that in there. So that's what's going to happen when we go and we stand before the throne with the real Christians. Step forward. I'm not talking about them church folk. I'm not talking about them hallelujah, thank you, Jesus people. You know, that's cutting the rug and shouting and doing everything else, but on Monday they're cussing their co-worker out. That's not the ones I'm talking about. The real Christians who have committed and given themselves over to God 100%. That's the ones. Amen. So we got to work on, because I don't want corrupt fruit coming from my tree. Right? I want good fruit, amen, coming from my tree. So I got to renew my mind. I got to continue to renew my mind. Brother John, I got to do it over and over again. I've been running for the Lord, as they say, for over 45 years. But I wonder what God's count is. See, that's the part we got to think about. You've been in the way. And it's time for you to get out the way and let God move. You know, so I'm looking at this, amen, as we work on our minds. Hear what I'm saying? The mind is meant to be a wonderful tool. He gave us a mind, amen, to help us. To be a tool for planning and problem solving, a tool, amen, for thinking things through, amen. But however, you know, if we don't train our minds, that's why we go to school. That's why you sit down with the little baby girl and you talk to her, because you want to train her mind. Amen. How to talk, how to think. We send our children to grade school, kindergarten, grade school, on up, amen, so others can help train their minds, amen, on how to live and how to function in this world. We need to train our minds on how to function in the kingdom. We need to train our minds instead of, you know, letting our minds have its way, amen, because if not, amen, it will color and shape the reality and the way we see things. If we don't take control over it, amen, we'll begin to see things in a way that's not productive, amen, for God or his kingdom, or even for ourselves. If we don't stop and train our mind, you know, the mind is a tool. Yes. See, sometimes we feel like, well, that's me thinking. Let me help you with something here. It's a tool, amen. And in some senses, in some of us, amen, in many people, the tool has become the master. You know, you for us who have these smartphones and computers, that's a tool. You put information in, you use it, amen, to get what you want done. But now, amen, it's getting to the point where now the computer's telling you what to do. And that's why I look at this AI stuff. It's getting more and more and more, amen. And well, give me this and tell me that. Oh, y'all getting fired now. Say, don't be messing with my technology. I don't know. I don't need to try to study. I just say Google it. All right? Google ain't always right, y'all.
Amen.
We gotta check ourselves, amen. You know, it's been written that the stories you tell yourself create the you, which is not true.
All right.
Either you're telling yourself you all that. Well, we know that ain't true. Are we telling ourselves we ain't nothing? Or somewhere in between?
All right.
But what did God say about you? He said you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Huh? That's what he says about you, amen. He knows the thoughts. We're going to get to that. But I want us to help understand, amen, the voice inside our heads, amen, continually making comments and judgments and complaints and likes and dislikes and so on, just telling us. See, the thing is, we need to understand, amen, you the one listening to your mind. Think about that for a minute. She said, oh, wow. She got it. You the one listening to the thoughts in your own head. So who's talking to you?
Who's talking to you?
Right.
Say that again.
Right. Where is that coming from? See, your mind has been programmed by what we've allowed in.
Exactly.
And who we've allowed in.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen. I'm not talking about your spirit, man. I'm talking about your mind.
Amen.
There's a difference. You see, and if we let our mind be in control, we let our mind be in charge. You know, I've learned to question my thoughts.
Yes.
Because, and I said my thoughts because they're in my head, but they're not always your thoughts.
Amen.
You know, you sometimes you got to plead the blood over your own self.
Amen.
You know,
there's
a lie. Huh? You know, he's convincing you to do this and telling you to do that. And, you know, and we like, okay. And instead of, hold up. That don't line up with who I am. Huh? You know, so there's a conspiracy going on inside of you. And I'm still talking about being present. Because if you let your mind and your thoughts take over, you're not present. You're just going along for the ride.
Right.
You know? I always think about Will Robinson, warning, man, out of control.
Yeah.
Out of control. I mean, warning, there's danger when we are not pausing to think about the thoughts that we're entertaining.
Yeah.
And if we keep entertaining them long enough, they become our reality. And we begin to perform, act, and talk according to that reality. But does that reality line up with the Word of God? That's what they're talking about, renewing our minds, renewing our thoughts, amen, and bringing, as the scriptures say, under the captivity of Christ, every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
Every thought
yes.
has got to line up with Christ.
Yes.
Man, see,
yes.
don't line up with me because I need him. But if we line it up with him, amen, now that I got all that stuff out of my head and I got it in order and I know, see, there's how many of you, let me show your hands real quick, if you're willing. Have ever caught yourself having a conversation with yourself in your head?
Yes.
Oh, it's. Who you talking to? That's talking back to you. That should scare you right there. Say, wait a minute. Who am I talking to? Huh? All those negative thoughts that have crept in, all the deceptions that have crept in, all the lies that have crept in over the years, and now you're having a conversation with them. It reminds me of Balaam when he was, you know, riding on his ass. Amen. When the Lord told him not to go, he went to do something. The Lord said, don't go. And the donkey saw the angel in the pass they was about to go through, and the donkey wouldn't move.
That's right.
The angel sitting there with a sword ready to strike him down. And so he started beating the donkey. The donkey wouldn't move. So all of a sudden, the donkey started talking to him. He said, why are you doing this to me? Have I done this to you in all the years I've served you? Now, and he don't even get it. He's answering the donkey. He's having an argument with the donkey. Because he's so focused on what he's doing, it doesn't strike him that, wait a minute. This animal ain't supposed to be talking. And what am I saying? Sometimes we're in that same place, but we're not talking to the donkey. We're talking to this flesh. And we don't say, hold up, wait a minute. Who? Wait. Because you're not present. And your spirit man is saying, hey, wake up. Stop listening to that. Stop giving in to that. Stop believing that. You're not that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to give in to that. You know, so we need to get to that place, amen, to bring those thoughts, every thought, under the captivity. Every thought. Because that's what wants to destroy us. We tell ourselves stories under our breath. And thoughts that bubble up, amen, on the inside. The unrestrained state of our minds runs unchecked, and if we let it begin to be unchecked, it will continue to create chaos in our lives. But we got to learn how to reel it in. How would he tell us? Whatever things are. Go back to Philippians 4 and 8. When you forget how to think, go to Philippians 4 and 8. Just start reading. Amen. It'll tell you how to thought. You're not thinking on good things. Amen. And then see what happens is when we get in that place, we're being distracted from the reality of the moment. We're being duped and taken down a path that the enemy wants to take us down instead of standing firm on the word of God. Oh, she don't like you. Yeah, you're right. She don't like me. When the reality is, you know, I done had people mad at me because I got stuff on my mind and I'm walking and he walked right by me and didn't even say nothing. And the enemy like, did you see that, Michelle? He didn't even say hi. And now, yeah, I'm going to avoid him from now on because I don't want. We accept a lie rather than giving the benefit of the doubt. Right? Everything's not about me. Huh? Amen. So we got to come to the place, amen, because, you know, it's really confounding, amen. We unconsciously identify with our mind until we have trained our mind, amen, and to bring it into the reality of where we are and who we are, to take control, amen, and rather than letting it have its way. We are not the thoughts in our mind. We are the one that hears those thoughts. And so now we got to check those thoughts. You know, I challenge you to do this. Observe your mind objectively. And when you start doing that, you will no longer be trapped in its influence. When you start questioning all the negative things, all the lies, all the things that it wants you to go off on that don't line up with the word of God, and you start questioning those thoughts, those things, amen, you are no longer being controlled by your mind, but you're being led by the word of God and his spirit. And say, that's not so, you know, in spite of, you know. I don't mind people talking about me. And when I say I don't mind, what I'm really saying, it don't bother me. Because I know I can't please everybody. No matter how hard I might try, I know I won't please everybody. And some, and other things I've been talked about so bad by so many. Right now, I guess I'm calloused in that area. No, I'm not calloused. I'm forgiving. You know, when people are coming against you or coming against me, don't charge it to them. Let me say this. Don't charge it to them. Charge it to a lack of knowledge and relationship with the Word of God, with Him Himself. Because if I'm in relationship with God and God died for everybody, God loves everybody, why would I be talking about? Huh? No matter what you do to me, Krisha, I still got to love you. Let me change that. I still choose to love you. Huh? Because why? You know, when the scripture told me years ago, when I saw the scripture, it said, love thy enemy. Do good to them that persecute you. Huh? Despitefully use you, rather. You know, it's how to treat people who do you wrong. The scripture tells us clearly to love them. To do good to them. So if I'm going to be like Christ, I choose to love him, Stephanie. I choose, amen, to do good. I've had people talk about me, amen, and I turn around, I just love them. You know what I mean? Yeah, I say I just keep on, Rev, till I love the hell out of them. Right? Amen. So I've been around them so much, they know it don't do no good to talk about that fella because he's just going to keep on loving me. Amen. You can't, and there's no law against love. You can talk about me like a dog, but you can't stop me from loving you. Huh? See, that's a renewed mind that he wants us to have. Amen. So therefore, if we learn how, amen, not to take the negativity in, I don't have to have a conversation about it later. So I ward it off. And that's what God wants us to do. Amen. To cast all our cares. That's why I can say I don't care, because I cast the care on him. Amen. And I just choose to love. And if we just continue to do that, amen, we don't have to carry the weight of other people. We don't have to try to avoid them. All those things, we just keep on walking in the love of God. God bless you. How are you doing today? Amen. But we got to get to that place. My goodness, my time is running out. But I really want us to understand, amen, you are in control of you. God is in charge of you. He's in charge of your life, amen. But he's given us clear instruction on how to walk this life. It's up to us to choose. See, if he was in control of your life, then your free will wouldn't mean nothing. In order to be in charge of your life, he would have to override your will. And he won't do that. Amen. That's why when we choose to do what we want to do, we're overriding the charge that he has over us as Christians. And we choose to do what we want to do. Amen. She said, remember this, in reality, you are not your thoughts. You determine what those thoughts are. And you corral those thoughts that are not lining up with the Word of God and you're not lining up with reality. That's why it's important to stay in the present. You know, the past is past. And y'all have heard me say this before. You can't go back and change it. You can't go back and fix the past. But you can change the present. Today is the only thing we got. Tomorrow is a construct. Amen. Tomorrow is in God's hands. Amen. It's the future, and we don't control the future. Amen. Now, it's okay to say, well, I'm going to do this tomorrow and that tomorrow, but if tomorrow don't come, you can't do nothing. Right? So all we got is today. Our lives unfold in the present. And if we're not present, who's unfolding our life? Right? So he wants us to be, know, and understand, amen, where we are. I got to read these passages to you, amen. Because we, you know, if we listen with compassion, if we listen outwardly at the things that are coming against us in our heads, amen, because, you know, that's where the warfare is. It's in our minds. And if our thoughts, whether high or low, are not lining up with God's word and his will, we got some adjustments to make. Right? But 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5 says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's up, stronghold? In war, it's a fortified place, amen, that's hard for the enemy to get into. In our heads, in our minds, it's a mindset. It's a stronghold, amen, where the enemy has set up in our heads to make us think this, that, and the other. It's hard to break that mindset. So, but he says, you know, but, you know, in this spiritual war, he's equipped us to pull down those strongholds, to expose them and to pull them down, amen. He said, casting down imaginations. What's that? Those are thoughts. Things we're imagining, things that the enemy is putting in there. He's casting down, just imagining doing this or doing that. You know how the scripture said, for a man to look on a woman, to lust after her, he's already committed. That imagination is already taking place, amen. He's guilty because of that imagination. So, you know, what you got to do is capture that thought, cast that thought down, right? Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, so we're embracing thoughts and strongholds, amen, that don't even line up with the word of God. And we know they don't line up, but we're still entertaining them. But he says those are the things that we need to bring. He said, and bringing into the captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Is what he wants us to do. In the message, verse number 5 says this, amen. I love how it says, I'm not going to read 3 through 5, but just 5. It says, we use our powerful God tools to smash warped philosophies, tear down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Now, what did he just say? Every loose thought, emotion, and now we know emotion is a big thing. You know? that encompasses our feelings. Our feelings. People in jail, people in prison, people in the grave because of feelings. And a lot of times, feelings that weren't even true. Y'all know how strong y'all feelings are. You know, we talk about certain things. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't feel that. I'm just trying to help us. But he's saying, you better capture those feelings. You better capture those emotions and impulses. I don't think I'd even need to go there. I just did it. I just wanted to do impulses that don't line up with God and his word, amen. But he said, bring all those things into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. There is a right and proper place for emotions. There's a proper place for the feelings. We should be moved by the things that move God. He's a compassionate God. We should have the same compassions that he has. Amen. Impulsively wanting to help somebody and be a blessing instead of impulsively wanting to sin. There's a right place for all these things. But if we don't bring it into a life shaped like Christ, amen, it's going to be chaos. So we got to be present with Christ, amen, in all the things that we choose to do. Amen. If we can't get that under control, how can we serve him like he deserves to be served? if we all over the place. Amen. Everything we hear and see on social media, everything we hear on the news, amen, or on Fox or CNN, and we being pulled this way and pulled that way, and so much so that we don't know what we think, but we repeating what they think. Because we don't have a word, we're using their words. How about the word of God? That's what we need to be. If you're going to parrot anybody, parrot them. Amen. Thus said the Lord. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Help us to get to that place, amen, so we can be present where God wants us to be present. Amen. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, amen, I will be present. I am present right now. I'm bringing my thoughts into the moment. I want this. This is the only real moment I have. 10 minutes ago was gone, and I may not see the next 10. This is the one I got. I'm going to be here right now. What is God saying right now? What does God have for me to do right now? How does God want me to respond right now? I'll forgive him later. You might not have later. And God forbid, you know, you don't forgive him and later don't show up. Hello? Because he tells us, no, if we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. We should be quick to forgive. They slap y'all, I forgive you. After you done told 5 or 6 people, thought about it, cried about it, got mad about it, called your aunt, uncle, friends. No. See, the Bible says be quick. Because it's that important. I don't know who I'm talking to, but we need to be there. Amen. To help us to grow and be who God wants us to be. And I'm going to give this last passage and I'm going to leave you alone. Amen. Because truly, he has plans for your life. But if you don't align with him, you will never get to the place he wants you to be. I will never get where he wants me to be. Amen. That's why he says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know what I'm doing. This is the message. He said, I know what I'm doing. Do you think God knows what he's doing? We need to find out what he's doing, right? He said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Wow. He said, I have these plans. And the Amplified, it says it like this. For I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and for and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Wow. But we got to be in the present, fully present. Stop letting everything take us out. You know, stop letting everything, amen, take you down a rabbit hole or rabbit trails, amen. Say, you know what, Lord? Wake up in the morning. Good morning, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the good. Thank you at the end of the day. Thank you when he allows you to get from point A to point B. See, I'm talking about being present, recognizing that this is only by the grace of God. I know every time I leave my home and I go back home, I get in the driveway. Thank you, Jesus. But let me get back. There's some crazy people on the road. I'm looking at some of them. I knew that would get you. Amen. But be present with God. Strive to be fully present at all times. Because when we let our minds wander, being the nature of the creature, it's going to wander away from God. That's why we have to be constantly focused on him. Constantly focused. That's why we need to stay in our word, stay in fellowship. You know, all those things, because why we need one another to be strengthened. Let's stand. We need to constantly be reminded, amen, by his spirit, amen, and those he's placed around us, amen, of who we really are, because this world is telling you everything else. And when you begin to listen and watch all the media that comes into us, amen, towards us, amen, very little of it is telling you about Christ. Let's be honest. Very little of it. And if we are intentional to stay focused on the things of God, the purposes of God, the plan of God, we will stray so far away that we're no longer present for the kingdom. We're no longer present, amen, for our Creator who has plans for every single one of us. We need to stay connected to Him so that we can fulfill His plans and His purpose for our lives. Hallelujah. So I'm going to leave you alone, amen, but I just want to pray. And if there's someone here, amen, that needs prayer, needs just to focus in, you're having trouble staying focused, having trouble staying in alignment with God, having trouble because all the thoughts that are in your mind, I want you to come forward. I want you to come, amen, because, you know, the Bible gives us so many things, like I said, to help us to corral our thoughts, to bring our thoughts under the captivity of Christ. The enemy has lied to us. The enemy has duped us in so many ways. You know, he's got us thinking some things about ourselves that's not true.
Thank you, God.
You ever tell yourself, I can't change? That's a lie from the enemy.
Ooh, yeah.
I can't get over this? That's a lie from the enemy. You'll never be free. That's what your mind might be telling you. But it's a lie from the enemy. You'll never be able to understand spiritual things. He said he'll reveal it to you by his spirit.
Yes.
See, so we don't listen to the multitude of lies that the enemy wants to bring. So we want to cast those thoughts down. And if anybody else in here dealing with some thoughts, amen, maybe they may not be bugging down, but you know what? I believe that the Lord is showing somebody right now things they need to get let go of. Thoughts they need to cast down. Thoughts they need to release about, maybe not just about yourself, but about others. I want you to come. I want you to come. Because when you come, it's saying, devil, you ain't got me no more.
Wrap me in your arms.
Nobody knows what these thoughts are, but I'm exposing you before the Father. To let him
wrap me in your
arms. To let the devil know. To let this
flesh
know.
This
controlled mind
wrap
know
me
that
in
it is not, as how the kids say, not the boss of me.
Ooh, wrap me,
right?
Wrap me.
Because we know who our boss is. That's the Lord God.
Wrap me in your arms.
Wrap me in your arms.
He can empower you when you don't think you would ever be empowered.
Jesus,
make a commitment to yourself.
Me
to question every negative thought that comes in your head. Don't receive it without questioning.
Without
filtering it through the Word.
There is a place.
Father, filter.
Take me.
If it ain't been Father, filter.
Take me to that place.
To that secret place.
To that sacred place.
I swear.
So, Father,
I can be with you.
I thank you, Lord, that you
wrap
are our healing. Lord, in that
wrap
your spirit,
me in
Lord,
your
and understanding
wrap
of your word,
wrap
Lord,
me in
you
your
are able to help us to bring everything.
Take me to that
every
place.
Every negative thought, every lie from the enemy.
Take me to that place.
To that secret place.
To that secret place.
I
can be more.
You can
no
make me.
Lord, we
you
cast them down right now.
Wrap me in your
Lord, we will challenge every negative thing, Lord, whether it be about ourselves or about others, God. Even how you want us to respond to others, God. We will challenge everything that doesn't align.
Take me, take me, take me.
Lord, we decide today. Lord, take no more, no further will this enemy tell us
to
what we are and can and cannot do.
Where Lord, I can be
you
with
you, Lord,
you,
your thoughts, your words, your
you
will, your way in our lives, God. Every moment that you give us, Lord, we want to be present in that moment, Lord, to respond how you want us to respond, to live how you want us to live, to love how you want us to love, Lord, to forgive like you say forgive, Lord, that we might be set free. From the thoughts.
Rob me in your arms. Rob me in your arms. Rob me in your arms.
Ooh,
Jesus, rob me.
We say yes to your will, yes to your will,
rob
yes to your ways.
Your rob me in your arms.
As we like to say,
rob me in your arms.
We thank you right
take
now for your goodness.
That
we thank you for your grace, Lord.
Take me to that place,
to
a secret place
where I can be with you.
I can be with you.
You can make me like
you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
Take me to
wrap me in your arms.
I want to be like you, Jesus.
Then we give to you.
Take me to that place.
We'll give your word
me
more
to
power,
thy place,
more
to that secret place,
to the secret place,
I can be with
you,
I can be with you,
you
can make me like you,
you can
make
me like
you,
you can make me like
you, but we'll speak your word, by your stripes I am healed,
wrap me in your arms,
declare your word,
wrap me in your arms,
wrap me in your arms,
all that you want us to be, we thank you right now, we pray for you.
Wrap me in
your
arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
If you're here and you haven't given your life to the Lord, I invite you to come as well. If you'd like to be a part of that commitment to encourage you, amen. And along with that, if you're here and you don't have a church home and you want to be a part of Living Faith, you want to join in with this assembly, amen.